Okay, so I already made the point that AI didn't do it alone. So some of the things that are out there is, there's, for instance, something called the Protein Data Bank, which scientists all around the world have contributed to for decades. The AI is trained on the data in that database. You take that database away, none of this would have happened. So, and similarly, if you're looking for like new materials for batteries or carbon capture, there's something called the Materials Project, which materials scientists who have been contributing to for decades. So I just want to reinforce, it's not AI that's getting all, I mean, it's getting all the attention, but it's the two together that are really making it work. Now, in contrast, one of the other patterns, and then we'll start to wrap it up here, is the way that AI is being used in areas like experimental physics or cosmology or astrophysics. And in these situations, you have some kind of complicated experiment. This is like the particle collider, or you could imagine it's a telescope or what have you. It's collecting some data. And the machine learning and AI algorithms are part of the data analysis pipeline. So they're collecting the data, they're analyzing the data. It's sort of like the souped up version of like, is this a car or a horse or something? You're looking at the data, you're trying to identify what's going on in the data and to help automate and improve the data analysis pipeline that then leads to claims of scientific discovery. There's no additional like follow-up. I mean, this is like part of the actual process of claiming the discovery. So in this situation, mistakes really matter. And so you got to be much more careful, and you really need to be able to calibrate these systems or understand how to quantify the uncertainty of using them. And I won't go into any details, but there's a lot of progress that's been made there. And so if you want to trust science, if you want to trust AI more, having a bunch of scientists that are skeptical about the use of it, and figuring out how do you convince me that it's not doing something wrong is like a good place to start. So scientists are really contributing into the trustworthy AI space. So that's this kind of box here I call data analysis and inference. And then I'll just make the point that there I was talking about, you know, things like astronomy and particle physics, but here I'm going from astronomy to agriculture because the same issues apply when you want to use AI and machine learning in the context of agriculture. So these are two journals that are, covers that were about this issue of using machine learning and AI in the context of agriculture. And there's too much to read here, but I'll just make the point that they were using some of these machine learning techniques to try to predict nitrogen emissions from soil, and they got these systems to work. They worked pretty well, but when they trained them on one kind of agricultural system, and then they tried to apply them to a different one, where the it says that it was trained on a corn, soybean, wheat rotation, which is a different type of farm than it was originally trained on, and then it didn't really work very well. It went from 89% to 38% accuracy, right? So this issue of trust is absolutely important for everyone, and definitely important for farmers if you're going to try to use these things. And so they're just kind of pointing to the same sets of issues that really you see in the context, essentially almost all these scientific contexts where you're using it for data analysis. But the good news is we are making progress on it, but it's still a hard problem.